The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
1206-97.3 Cairo FM. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. Glad you're spending part of this Wednesday afternoon with us here at The Dory Monson Show. What a week. Man, my youngest daughter, her birthday was yesterday. My middle daughter, her birthday's today. I've talked to you about how we're not going to be together for Thanksgiving because they don't think they couldn't quarantine for the 14 days that's recommended before they come and see old dad. And it's been really interesting. I'm going to be very vulnerable with you here because I could get kind of emotional in the big lead here. And the reason for that is I've been talking a lot about the shutdown of the state, about families not being together for Thanksgiving and Christmas, possibly, if Jay Inslee gets his way.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
If Jay Inslee gets his way, families won't be together. And I've been very open and honest about how sad that makes me. And I will tell you, the feedback from about half the listeners has been just brutal. That it's selfish, that if you have your adult kids over, you're contributing to spreading coronavirus, and it's selfish and all of that stuff. But I also recognize at this time of year, and I think it's probably the holidays when it hits families the hardest who have lost kids. And I have not. I can think that I know what that's like, but I would not ever pretend that I actually do know what it's like. And what bothers me so much is the people who say, yes, we should shut down our economy and we should keep the schools shut down and we should keep families apart. And there is such a moral certainty. If they disagree with me, you want to kill people. When the facts are that what we're doing right now to our economy, to our children, it undoubtedly is killing people. Without question, it's killing people. Closing restaurants and gyms, there is no data, that would suggest that that is making our society any safer. There simply is no statistical evidence that closing gyms, closing restaurants, is going to reduce the spread of coronavirus. And yet there are so many people who have become just absolutely brainwashed by government to believe that, yes, shutting down everything is not only a health necessity, but it is a moral certainty that we must do that. And again, I'm not pretending that people like me who are rebelling against the shutdown, I'm not pretending that I know my position is right. But I know that the other side's position is not necessarily right, and that there's more evidence to suggest that the shutdown is doing far more damage than it is helping us in public safety. And so I'm going to share with you it's a really hard message to share, but I think it's an important one. And so with that as mere prelude, let's get right to the big lead.
The big lead, top story.
Now, I will say, I know a couple kids who took their own life in middle school and high school. Not close friends of my girls, but friends. You know, kind of peripheral friends. And kids whose families my wife and I know, and we're friendly with their parents, and it's awful. There is no greater tragedy than losing a child. It's unnatural. And you know, I've seen a couple of others, too, that have nothing to do with what we're talking about today. But one of my daughter's best friends lost a battle with a brain tumor when she was about 11. One of my other daughter's best friends lost his life in a boating accident in college. And it's just awful. And so when I get messages from listeners that reference the greatest of human tragedies, it hits me hard. And that's what I said. Yeah, I'm going to try to not get too emotional here, but you know, when I think about how I want to present topics to you, and I kind of go through it before the show, man, I lost it this morning as I was thinking about this one email that I got. And so this is going to speak specifically to the school shutdown. The fact that the way things are going, I don't know if our kids are going to get back in school at all this school year. And I've told you how damaging, how destructive I think that is. And again, about half of my listeners just flame me whenever I say that. Oh, you want to get the kids all back in school and they'll super spread the coronavirus and the teachers will all get it and they'll take it home to their parents and grandparents and you want to kill people. And again, there's zero evidence that kids are effective transmitters of the virus. There's zero evidence that the schools are transmitters. You know, in Europe where the schools have been open, they're just... isn't any data to back up that it's created a greater health crisis. But here's what I do know for certain, is that there are kids who are flunking out of school at a shocking level. And most of us, including parents, aren't even aware the extent to which kids are flunking out of schools, because they're taking F grades and they're changing them to C's. Literally. I just got a new grade reset from a local school district. 0 to 69% was an F. Now with the reset, it's a C. So the schools can hide how horribly destructive this at-home learning has been. But more than that, you have kids who participate in extracurriculars, whether it be sports or band or drama, and they stay eligible because they are passionate about those extracurriculars. Those kids are getting lost. They're dropping out, but they still get a C because C is, or F is the new C. So the schools are hiding how disastrous this has been. But I want to share with you a message I got from a listener that just ripped me up, tore me to shreds. He asked to stay anonymous. I've been reluctant to send this because I've been feeling like it is not my place, but I really cannot hold out any longer. This is regarding the kids' need to go back to school. Last month, my 12-year-old daughter's best friend committed suicide weeks after her 13th birthday. We knew she had a little depression due to her mom dying 6 years before, which made her a latchkey kid, as her wonderful father had to work. This left her alone and depressed to do her online schooling, which is also a tale of its own, as she had 60. She had 60 missing assignments and failing all classes. Red flags? It just broke my heart sitting at the funeral, seeing pictures of her that my wife and I took, and having our 12-year-old sobbing next to us, probably not really understanding fully what's going on in the world. I will not put this 100% on the state, but you cannot convince me that being out of school was not a factor. How many other cases are there like this? And they said he'd like to stay anonymous. That is just absolutely heartbreaking. And here's the thing. When kids are in school and there are, dramatic red flags, like this one, 60 missing assignments, missing classes, we are trained as school employees. I'm talking a bit in the past tense with me, but my wife still works in the public schools. I was talking to her about this. You're trained as a school employee, if you see gigantic red flags, to intervene, to try to help. Would that have saved this girl's life? I don't know. But it would have had a shot. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because, again, there is such absolute public health and moral certainty from the people who disagree with me. And I'm not pretending like opening the schools is going to be some panacea. But I am certain that what we are doing right now is killing more people, including children, than coronavirus ever would. And I'm getting really sick and tired of all of the people who have been brainwashed by Jay Inslee and the rest of the government officials and the teachers' union and everything else, who have been absolutely brainwashed to just repeat the same old nonsense that opening the schools will kill our kids. There's no evidence of that. Keeping our schools closed is killing our kids. There is ample evidence of that. The CDC reports that more kids, the increase in the number of suicides and drug overdoses has skyrocketed since stay at home happened. The other thing we know is that for some other kids, they're in abusive situations that they can't get out of. They don't have the watchful eyes of a teacher, a counselor, a coach who might see some signs of abuse and be able to intervene. And so we have more and more kids who are in horrible home situations who can't escape. And what I would ask of all of you who have been what I consider to be brainwashed by Jay Inslee, by the teachers' union, by our politicians, to believe that what is happening right now is for the children, that it is for public health. That is absolute nonsense. And you can continue to believe that, but you're ignoring facts when you do. You know, we have a story today about, there was a big, Politico has this. There was a big lawmaker retreat at a fancy resort on Maui. Despite the pandemic, despite the travel warnings, despite the fact that our politicians want to cancel Thanksgiving and Christmas, but 100 lawmakers and lobbyists from four states, including Washington, went to the Fairmont Kialani for a four-day legislative conference organized by lobbyists. I'm trying to find out which lawmakers from Washington attended. But they say that several of these lawmakers are from our state. And I'm on day two of trying to get everybody has sealed their lips on this one, man. They don't want to let us know that they violated all the travel restrictions and went to a fancy resort paid for by lobbyists. They don't believe what they're telling us. So why do you? Gavin Newsom goes to a fancy restaurant without a mask with a bunch of lobbyists in California and is then just sick and saddened when he's caught. He doesn't live the way he orders his constituents to. So please spare me the moral certitude that we're on the right path. Because I will give you lots of facts and stories and data that support that we're on the wrong path. And this is not a healthy thing that we're doing. This is not a healthy way to respond to a health crisis. Kids are dying because of the way we're handling this. And the tragic story the listener shared is proof of that. And that is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Oh, we have so much to do as we get rolling here. I'm going to talk to a business owner who is just devastated by the shutdown order. And again, why? There are no facts that track any spreading to his business or the restaurant industry, but Jay Inslee is shutting it all down. It's all about control, gang. I'm telling you. All right, we'll talk to that restaurant owner. And we have lots more to come as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. Well, one thing I've been spotlighting all week since the governor announced yet another economic shutdown of this state is what it means for the business owners. I talked to a gym owner yesterday. I talked to a restaurant owner a couple of days ago. Today, I have another restaurant owner, Scott Perry, runs Toscano's Italian Kitchen with his family out in Monroe, a fine place that I visited about a year ago now. And Scott joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Scott, good to talk to you again, sir.
Dory, nice to talk to you, too, and I appreciate what you're doing for the community. It's nice to have you back on the air, and we all appreciate what you're doing to help small business get attention in this tough environment. We're very thankful for that.
Well,
I've been in this business for 35 years, and I've never seen like this.
So tell me, when you say you've never seen anything like this, tell me how significant this is, because I know that this is a family business. I know that you have a lot of people you employ. How tough is this?
It's crushing. My wife and I, we're 63 and 62. We will survive this, but we have 40-some employees that count on our leadership every day to run a successful business so they can generate revenue to pay for their cell phone and their food and their daycare. And I think the most crushing part for us is to see these wonderful people who have been with us 5, 10, 15, 20-year employees struggling and crying and so worried and so stressed about how what the go forward looks like. That's I think the hardest part for my wife and I is to watch our employees, similar to watching our friend who owns Mauro, your friend who owns Asagio, listening him in tears the other day. It made my wife and I well up, knowing how hard he has worked too for 28 years, and to think he may lose everything. It just breaks our heart.
And when you get this dictate from Jay Inslee, how is it communicated to you, Scott? I mean, do they work with you? Do they find out if restaurant? Because I haven't seen any data that suggests that restaurants are contributing to any spread of coronavirus. So I don't quite understand why they're crushing your industry if there's no data to support it.
I don't understand that either. Data Daddy, as you refer to Jay, cannot support this either. Anton, the head of our restaurant association, thinks, or basically documents, there's less than 1% of COVID cases that can be directly traced back to a restaurant or bar operation. 1%. Show us the data, Data Daddy, because we would like to reopen and be in business and employ people and support the state with revenues. But Data Daddy has come up with some smoke and mirror statistic. I'm not sure where it's coming from, Dory, but we do not believe it, and I think most of the people in this community are starting to not believe it.
Well, has he come up with statistics that indicate why he needs to shut down restaurants? Have they shown you any stats that back that up in any way?
No, they have not. And we have not seen anything. We even watched the Seattle Times. We were looking at the Seattle Times just then. My wife was showing me some data last night. You know, the cases are up, but the hospitalizations are down. And people are maybe walking around asymptomatic, but people are not dying. What is it, 99.8% or 6% of people don't die from COVID? And yes, people have lost loved ones, and yes, it is tough on people, but for the love of God, people are not dying at that rate. It's 99.6% of the people live through this, especially the younger people, 20, 30, 40, 50-year-olds. They're doing great. And they're taking those folks out of our business. They're taking those folks off of our employment rolls. I cannot believe he is doing this. The hypocrisy, it just crushes me. I can't even believe this.
You have, like you said, about 40 employees. You have a big payroll. Obviously, when you get into a business like this, you care deeply about your employees. Tell me some of the personal human stories, both for you and your wife as business owners and for your employees who can't get a paycheck right now.
Last time during the COVID shutdown, my wife and I went and gave thousands of dollars away of our personal income, not income, but savings, to help support our employees through the tough times. We paid people's rents. We helped pay for people's food. We fed people when they came in the restaurant. We bought thousands of dollars of gift cards at Fred Meyer and gave them out. My son, the general manager, went to his own savings account and withdrew a couple thousand dollars and handed out $100 bills to these people. He's 25 years old. This is what we do, and this is what business owners do. They're conservative, they're caring, they're thoughtful, and they're generous. And I assure you, or your friend at Zaggio does the same thing. We as business owners support the people that have worked so hard for us to make our brand vibrant and successful. And now at Christmas time, Dory, this is the worst time Jay could do this, and to pull the plug in a matter of 48 hours, and it the stress that he is causing us. We've not slept for many nights, Kathy, and I've not slept well because of the stress that he's put on and the uncertainty. And yeah, then to manage the hypocrisy that goes with this, it just makes us sick.
When you say hypocrisy, where do you think they are being the most hypocritical?
Well, it's even like watching the governor in California, you know, out at a restaurant with 12 people. It's watching.
Right.
It's watching our government people doing what they asking us to get in line and shut up and doing something different on their own. It's looking at the people without allowing protests in Seattle. Of course, they're peaceful protests, right?
No.
Not riots, but yeah. It's allowing all of those things to go on. What's good for you is not good for me, and you get in line and shut up. That's all I want you to do, like sheep. We want to run the levers of control, and it's absolutely terrifying to see what they're doing.
So what does this mean for you, Scott? I mean, how long can you weather this shutdown storm?
Well, my wife and I have worked very hard for 35 years in this business, story, and we have any money that's come in, we've paid off debt. We're one of the very fortunate people through hard work and financial discipline. We own our building. We own the fixtures and furnishings. We own the inventory. But we're very unusual in this business because most people are paying a very big rent factor. And of course, as you know, all the other operating costs to run a business, that's what's taking people out, is having to continually pay. They have the big rent factor to pay. We don't. We've got to manage our property taxes and overhead expenses and labor. So we will survive this. But it brings me to tears to think of so many of my friends and so many people who have given up everything in their life to run a business and live the American dream, which, by God, I'm so thankful we've been able to do. You know, we will make this, but most business, I bet you 50, 60% of the restaurants will vaporize, Dory.
Yeah,
and it's crushing for our economy. And the thing, Dory, that really bothers me, too, is to listen to our governor, to listen to him bloviate on TV. He loves to be on TV. But to listen to him talk about all the sacrifices that we need to make, right? You and I and all the other business owners and wonderful people in our community. Why haven't they slashed state budgets? Why haven't they gone through and made cuts to our expenses for the state of Washington, fully knowing the revenues drop significantly? We've had to slash and burn at our business like everybody does. The governor has done nothing to cut expenses in this state. Nothing. And that is very frustrating as a business owner. We're paying B&O tax on revenue that we make no money on because of our sales have sagged. The governor doesn't make any cuts to his budget.
Well,
and it's wrong.
Not only that, Scott, but the budget is going up this year. And he said that they are going to have to make draconian cuts because their increase is not going to be as big as he would have liked. That is what government considers a draconian cut, to not increase government as much as they would love to do.
makes you want to scream, because that's exactly right. A cut to them is not taking the automatic increase.
Right.
It's just terrible. And what about the other, in business, we unfortunately fire people that don't perform. Why in God's name is that lady still running the super fundraiser, Democratic donor? Why is she still employed as the head of the unemployment department? I mean, how does this happen, Dory? I don't get this. I mean, she should have been terminated a long time ago, and that $500-600 million that we've lost needs to be found, and the people that are now out of work again need to get their checks quickly and not wait 2 and 3 months.
Oh, man. Scott, you make so many great points. Well, I'm really sorry for what you, your employees, and all your fellow business owners are going through right now. And I'm glad to hear that you're going to hang in there, because I still have to come out there and get that lasagna one of these days.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Larry, and you know, we need to get Coach Bumpkus back in there, too. And you guys are real nice people. And again, thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts for what you're doing in this community. We're so thankful you returned after that short vacation.
Yes, what a vacation.
Stay tough, Dory.
You do the same, Scott. It's really great talking with you. We'll stay in touch, okay?
All right. Anytime. Bye-bye.
Okay, that's Scott Perry. He owns Toscano's Italian Kitchen out in Monroe. And, yeah, we went there before a Monroe High School football game a year ago. And it's a fantastic place and wonderful people. And I should have asked if they're still doing takeout, because you got to patronize businesses like that. They probably are. So love to hear your thoughts on what you just heard. You can text me at 989-973. That's 989-973. My vacation. And we'll be back with lots more to come here on the Dory Monson Show. What a show we have. King County Councilman Reagan Dunn is going to join us a little bit later. Brock Heward as well. I love talking with Scott, the Monroe restaurant owner, about all the nonsense that's going on. So the reason he was talking about the hypocrisy of Jay Inslee and others, Gavin Newsom, the California governor, has imposed the same stay-at-home order, can't go to restaurants. But then it was revealed that Gavin Newsom went to one of the fanciest, most expensive restaurants in the world that's in the Bay Area, because it was his buddy's 50th birthday, some big lobbyist. And I don't want to say anything negative about lobbyists as an industry, but what a sleazy industry. But again, I don't want to say anything negative about lobbyists. One of the main reasons why I would like a flat tax or a national sales tax is so we could get rid of all lobbyists, so we could get rid of 50,000-page income tax code where lobbyists are just manipulating tax code for their clients. It's sleazy. But politicians, they love lobbyists. You know why? Because lobbyists can grease their palms. You know, does anybody wonder why Nancy Pelosi and her husband are worth over $100 million? Well over $100 million? Think maybe they had a little inside info? So Gavin Newsom, he went to this restaurant, wasn't wearing a mask. He gave a pathetic apology. I played that for you yesterday. Now the Fox affiliate in Los Angeles, they have talked to the person who got pictures and video of Gavin Newsom violating the mandate that he has put in place for all the little people, business owners, restaurant patrons in his state. He doesn't do this, but he's mandating it for everyone else.
I just happened to look over and realize, hey, is that Gavin Newsom? Who is that? And I did ask one of the waitresses, and she confirmed it was.
When the governor issued his apology on Monday, he described the dinner as outdoors.
It was in Napa, which was in the orange status, relatively loose compared to some other counties. It was to be an outdoor.
Wrong. It was indoors. The pictures prove that. Politicians do not believe they need to live by the same mandates they impose on us. Lots more in the Fast 15 coming up next.